Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus.
Sunday.
Enjoy the message.
Significant day in the life of Pneuma. It is Advance the Kingdom. This month we're looking at that whole people with purpose. Last week we looked at the local. This week we are going to look at the global. But we are joining today the whole Pneuma global network. All the locations are presenting Advance the Kingdom Sunday, which I'm pretty excited about. And we will be highlighting corporately, basically, how we can get involved in reaching out globally. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again today, and you're going to hear me say this many, many times in the future as well. How do we change the world? We change the world by changing one country at a time. How do we change a country? By changing one state or one region at a time. How do we change one state or region? By changing one city at a time. How do we change one city? One community. How do we change one community? One person at a time. And that person is the person that we spoke about who is in your flock. Yep. The first commission that was given to mankind in the Garden of Eden way back in the day is found in Genesis 1:28. It said this: be fruitful and multiply. Why? In order to fill the earth and to subdue it. The God family was to expand. The God family was to expand, and God's presence was to spread to the rest of the earth through this expansion. Another way to put it, God's dominion was to fill the earth. Mankind was given the commissioning of subduing, taking it by force for his purposes and his glory. So we see from this scripture in Genesis that our responsibilities as believers is far beyond just our back fence. Thank you. Originally, God ordained man to be in his presence continually, to walk in the garden, to walk in his presence in the cool of the day. And it was out of this walking in his presence that we were mandated to fill the earth and subdue it. But, everybody say but. Adam and Eve, they stuffed up big time. They stuffed up God's plan by how? By eating the forbidden fruit. Through this, God removes mankind from the garden for their own good. You can go and read this in Genesis. But now, because of this as well, mankind is separated from God through their sin. And this is where Jesus comes into the picture. This is where in a couple of weeks' time, we will be celebrating Easter. But this is what all Easter is all about. Jesus comes to do what? To restore our relationship with the Father, to take back the authority that mankind had given to the enemy, to take back the power that we once had and re-give it back to us. Which leads me to the second commissioning. Second commission was this. We know this well in Matthew 28:18. Go and make disciples of who? All nations. Not one, not two, all nations. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Two things that have to be done, baptizing and teaching. But you and I are mandated or commissioned in the second commissioning to go and to make disciples. Let's say that the first commissioning and the second commissioning are exactly the same. I've preached about this before, but it is just said in different words. The call is to be a disciple and to make a disciple. This is an all or nothing proposition. This is not something we can deny. This is not something that we can put our head in the sand and let it pass us by. It's a mandate that has been given to every believer. Another scripture that affirms Genesis and it affirms Matthew's in Matthew 4 verses 19. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The context of this is Jesus was walking along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee and he saw. There's the word that we dissected last week. There's a difference between looking and seeing. Jesus saw. He saw who? Two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and he saw Andrew. That what were they doing? They were throwing a net into the water because they fished for a living. They were fishermen. Jesus calls out to them and says, hey, come follow me and I will show you how to be fishers of men. Now, in the light of last week, like I said, Jesus saw. What did he see? This is important, people. He saw the potential. He saw the purpose that had actually been planted within them from their birth. What Jesus had, what Father had knitted within him. He saw what their real purpose was. And he says to them, hey, Simon, hey, Andrew, come here. What do you think you are doing in catching fish is good, but I want to change your perspective. I want to show you your purpose. I will teach you and change your perspective on life. Because you are called to do greater things than to just be fishers of fish, but fishers of men. You see, I want to say this. You can be a CFO. You can be a CEO. You can be a doctor. You can be a mom. You can be a teacher. You can be a stay-at-home dad. But that's not your main godly purpose. You and I are to be doctors of men. We are to be teachers of men. We have to be mothers and fathers of men and of women. You see, these men were fishermen. That's how come Jesus referred to the fish being fishermen of men in the culture of the day. So what is your role right now within our society? You are called, that's okay doing that, but you are called to be that of men and women. You see, there's different things here. In that scripture, Jesus says to them two things. He says, follow me. You see, as we follow, so we fulfill our purpose of being world changers. How? By advancing his kingdom. Follow me. The second thing he says, and I will make you fishers of men. How? By plundering hell and populating heaven. By reaching the lost, the weary, the helpless that we spoke about. By sharing in place of this, by sharing the hope and the life and the light and the life. That's what we call to do. That's what every believer, not Pastor JJ. That's what we are called to do within our society, within our areas. Pastor Raph said this the other day. He said, if we're not fishing, then are we really following? Ouch. I said, ouch. If we're not fishing, then are we really following? You see, church, the mandate has not changed. Our responsibility goes beyond our community. We are called to advance his kingdom throughout the nations. The scripture says in Matthew 28:18, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. So what does it mean? What does it mean when we say advance the kingdom of God? Advancing the kingdom, which you're going to hear a lot. You're going to hear a lot out of it out of my mouth because that's what we're called to do. Advancing the kingdom typically refers to spreading the teachings and values of a religion or a belief system. Kingdom of God, so advancing the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God refers to the reign or rule of God over all creation. Let's go back to Genesis, what I just told you about. We are to subdue it. In other words, we are to reign. We are to bring the rule of God over all of creation. So we as a family of God have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. We all as believers, as the church, capital T, capital C, we all have a responsibility to advance his kingdom. What does that mean? Sharing and spreading the teachings and values of God's reign and rule over all creation. Where and how do we do this? I'm glad you ask. Acts 1:8 gives us an answer. And it's going to be on the board. There it is. You guys are amazing backstage. Acts 1:8 in the Amplified. I love the Amplified because that does exactly that. It amplifies it. But you shall receive what? which means, in brackets, ability, efficiency, and might, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my? In where? And? And? Aha! Aha! I want to point out that applying it today to in Jesus is saying, you will be my witnesses in your Jerusalem, which is your family, your community, your city, all of Judea and Samaria, which means your state and your country and the ends of the earth, even San Francisco. I want to point out that there's a word between each region. It's a Greek word, K-A-I, kai. Kai is a fairly specific in its meaning. It means and. It does not mean then. We cannot view this verse as saying, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. It says that in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. It's not an and or, but just an and. You ask me, how do I do all of this when I am located in Melbourne, when I work in Melbourne, when I live in Melbourne, when I eat in Melbourne, when my children are in Melbourne? How do I reach the University of Melbourne? How do I reach the regional of Victoria? How do I reach the country of Australia? How do I reach the nations of the world? I'm one person. I get it. Sometimes I've heard my wife and my mother say, I wish I was more than one person because then I could do more. Anybody else say that? A couple of wives raising up their hands. But we're not. We're one. We're one person. How can we do this? By being a good steward of the resources that have been entrusted to us in our hand. You see, giving of resources enables others to be sent. Enabling others to be sent enables them to deliver what you and I deliver on our back door. Did you hear what I said? That is why it's important that we play a role in getting the gospel preached in other areas that you and myself cannot get to. We need to be able to go to places where we cannot, because it's not a, when you do this, then you can do this, then you can do this. No, you and I have to do this here and here and here and here. It's an and. It's not a then. It's an and. So in other words, what the scripture is trying to say to us is we have to be effective in the whole of the nations at the same time. You and I play a role. Why? Because we're one body. Am I right? I'm going off track here. Stop the clock, please. We're one body. So in other words, we have to all be one-minded about one thing, the kingdom of God. We all have to work towards the one goal, which is what? Advancing his kingdom. We can't say, oh, the guys in Asia look after Asia and the guys in Africa look after... No. We are the body. We are the body. You may be the little pinky nail on the greater body. I might be the toenail, not the missing toenail, the other toenail in the greater body. But we are part of his body. And you know what? That is why the church always has a global vision as part of their local vision. Hear what I'm saying? The church needs to have and be part of a global vision within the local vision. That's why Pauline and I, we love being part of Pneuma Church, because it's not building an empire, it's about building his kingdom. It's from our doorstep to the nations of the world. This has been part of Pneuma. This has been part of Pneuma for how long? For 99 years now, that they have been ascending church. Hello. San Francisco came out of here. Bangkok came out of here. Pneuma East. We're ascending church. No pressure. Who's going to Africa? Not me. Who's going to Africa? I'm staying right here. I'm not going anywhere. All right. Joke. But who's going to Africa? That's a good question. Who's going to Europe? Europe, you know that the Europe needs Jesus. A scripture that I read years and years and years ago that still sends shiver down my spine is Haggai, and it's going to be on the back. Haggai, and it's in the message, 1:4. How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your fine new homes while the home, capital H, look at the capital, capital H, the home, God's temple, is in ruins? Now, the context here is, of course, the prophet Haggai is talking about the physical temple, yeah? The physical temple of the Lord that is in ruin. But let's make it applicable to today. Who or what is the temple of God? We are. It's not building. We are the temple of God. You and I, His people, mankind, His creation. Now, here's another question. Does that only include the ones who are committed Christians? Did God say in Psalm 139, He knitted some people in their mother's womb? He said, He knitted you. Did God say in Genesis 1:27, let's create some men in our image? No, He said, let's create man in our image. So God has a heart. Why did God send Jesus for some people and not for others? No, He sent, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. So this is for everybody. Let's change our perspective here, people. You see, here's another question. Here's another question. Do you think God's temple, remember who's the temple? Mankind. Do you think God's temple is in ruins today? Yes. Why do I say that? Because if God sent Jesus to die for all mankind, last week we heard the statistics, here it comes, 5.72 billion people walking on this earth still do not know Him. There's 5.72 billion people who are still weary, harassed, distressed, helpless, who still do not know Him. When is He coming back? When everybody has heard about Him. There's still some work to be done. Last week we also heard that Christianity has declined by over 181,000 people. I'd like to suggest this. It's a sad reality that at the heart of this decline is this belief that we exist for ourselves. Why? Because that's what society pumps through the whole time. Buses, TV ads, you name it. Billboards, magazines, books, it's all about you, 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 you. This is all about you. It's not fair against you. So we, society, even Christianity, we're in this belief that we exist for ourselves, which is dangerous because it leads us to living for personal dreams rather than living for God's dreams. It leads us to live for personal purpose instead of living for God's purpose. You see, personal dreams and purposeful purposes are temporal. When we die, we leave everything here. I've never seen an angel or a chariot with a coffin with a trailer on the back of it taking all our stuff with it. You've heard that. That's an old one. But still, we leave it all behind. You see, God's dreams are eternal. God's purposes are eternal. And so every year, we get this privilege to partner with God's dreams and in what He's doing. And the reality is you and I cannot be everywhere at the same time. Why? Because we are part of the body, and the body has a greater purpose. The body has a greater vision. And we are blessed. We are really blessed. I want to say, people, Pneuma is one of a kind within the church world. What we have, we must not take for granted. We've been around this country in different places, different churches, and I believe me, what we have here, we are very, very blessed. We are very blessed. But part of this house's heart is to do what? To disciple the nations. Come on. Come on. Part of this house is to plant churches that carry a spirit of revival to disciple cities and nations. Come on, I want to be part of that. So part of this house is to run a school of the Spirit. I pioneered that. I saw lives transformed in those 3 years. You've heard the story. It's an old story, but I still love it because it's part of my testimony. Guess what? We have 39 or 38 students currently going through the school of the Spirit. Bring it on. These are revivalists in the making. You know what, another thing? We have a revival conference. Last year, we attended Revival Conference for the very first time. We were whacked by the power of God. We had people flying in from the far north of Queensland, throughout the whole of Queensland, that have already booked again for this year to come to Revival Conference. Why? Because the presence of God, something that we have, is something that the church needs. They come here, they dip the flame's not there, they dip it in, and they walk out, and they are burning when they go back to Queensland. Queensland is under transformation because of people that have been here last year. People who came here, who dipped their wick and was burning for Jesus, they're making a difference now. Why? Because they attended our conference, and we get the privilege of partnering and running that conference. I love it. Can you imagine? Here's a question. The scripture's on the board. Acts, again, the Amplified. Acts 2:44. Can you imagine that today's church was like this? And all those who believed in Jesus as Savior were together, had all things in common, considering their possessions to belong to the group as a whole. And they began selling their property and possessions. Come on, sell those houses. This is what the scripture is saying. Selling their property and possessions and was sharing the proceeds with all the other believers as anyone had need. That was the birth of the church. Imagine if the church was still like that today. Poverty would be eradicated from the face of this earth. So, let's get practical. I'm all over the shop. Let's get practical. What does this mean for as Advance the Kingdom Sunday for Numa, as we collectively undertake to advance the kingdom? There's four things. We're going to continue to plant churches. We're going to flesh this out a little bit. We're going to continue to plant churches. We're going to invest in ministries and initiatives which fuel and develop revival culture. We're going to support existing Numa churches. And number four, this is a new one, which I love. We're going to financially gift another kingdom work outside of Numa. Come on. All right, let's break it down. In 2024, we will plant, are you ready? Numa Singapore. Come on. All right. Now, as those of you who don't know, Singapore is the economic powerhouse of Asia. It has a population of just under 6 million people. Only 18.9% of the population are Christians at the moment. Wait until Numa gets there. This includes Catholics. All right. So Pastor Alvin and Pastor Amy, who again came from East, hello, good old East. We're everywhere on the planet. Pastor Alvin and Pastor Amy have started the work and will be heading up Numa Singapore. So you ask the question, what about Numa Bangkok? It is flourishing because Pastor Ben Su will take on the leadership at Numa Bangkok. In 2024, we will be planting Numa Orlando, Florida. The population in Orlando is 2.6 million. It's the third largest metropolitan area in Florida. It's the most visited of areas, but it is in desperate need of the gospel. You see, there's this Brazilian community. There's over 300,000 Brazilians living there. And this church at the moment that is starting Numa, Orlando, Florida, is going to be led by Pastor Fabio and Lily Carlin. We met them. They were here. They are on fire. If you want to go and follow them, follow them. You must already see the services that are happening. Crazy. In 2024, we will plant, are you ready? Drum roll. Numa, Spain in Cadiz. How good is that? I'm going to Spain. Preaching. Maybe not. Cadiz is found in the south of Spain, the oldest inhabited city of Spain. It's the 1040 window represents a rectangular area, rectangular, however that looks, I nearly said triangular, a rectangular in the globe and includes North Africa, Middle East, Asia, and southernmost part of Europe. All right, I'm reading, this is important. 90% of the poorest people in the world are in this area, 90%. Okay, it's estimated nearly two-thirds of the world's population. This is, we're talking about a world population of 8 billion, all right? We're talking about two-thirds of the world's population lives within this narrow window, okay? It's home to the majority of the world's least evangelized. Now, we have a pastor who's already started, and he is Pastor Edgar and Malin Aria, who are going to be heading this up with these two children. We met them as well. They are on fire. It's already happening. In 2024, that's the church planning. In 2024, we will continue to develop the Pneuma School of the Spirit. Why? Because it, come on, let's get excited about that, somebody. Because we want to provide exceptional theological training and equipping, which is important, but this excites me more, that to walk in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But our own prophet Roma has already taught there. I will be taughting. Remember that word when I'm there. I'll be taughting about the apologetics of revival. Bring on the fire. I'll be taughting. That's a new word. All right. Another thing that we're going to be doing, we're going to be financially invest so we can effectively facilitate the revival conference. I've already spoken about it. Now, here's some news. Hot goss off the press. It's going to be happening on the 4th to the 6th of July. Pastor Haley Braun from Bethel, you do not want to miss it, and Pastor Ben Fitzgerald. So I want us to register as Pneuma East and be there in full force. That last year, they both ministered. It was holy chaos. It was beautiful. All right, but I want you to know this. It's only going to be one conference. Not two conferences, it's only going to be one conference. So get on those registrations and register. You want to get some more news hot off the press. In 2024, we'll continue to support Pneuma churches that are existing at the moment, i.e. Pneuma San Francisco. So we're sending Amy with a big, large trunk full of cash, US dollars. No, we're not. But we are supporting San Francisco. We are also supporting Adelaide North and Sunshine Coast. These are some of our locations, our newest locations, to ensure the stability and continued growth. And then this is my fave. I love them all, but this is my fave. We will gift 10% of the Advance the Kingdom offering to another kingdom work outside of Pneuma. Come on, let's give God praise for that. You know what? I've planted churches in my lifetime. One church. I've been part of very many small churches that do not have cash to even buy a microphone. But we, Pneuma, we are gifting 10% of the overall. Not we're going to deduct money first, but what comes in, 10% of that has been set aside for another kingdom work somewhere out there. So here it is. This is what it's going to cost. The whole thing is going to cost us $1.4 million. Yeah, that's the estimated cost. But look at this. It includes three new locations. It supports three other locations. It's the funding and development of the School of the Spirit. It's investing in hosting the Revival Conference, which will be attended by over 1,000 people from across the globe. Last year, we had people flying in from America. We had people flying in from Europe to attend the conference, not to be speakers, to attend the conference. It also intends a 10% spiritual gift. My question is to us as Pneuma East, here's my challenge. This is a challenge. Everything comes with a challenge. Is this, how much of that 1.4 million is East contributing this year in 2024? This is where we put money, where our mouth is. This is where we bring resources to the table. You see, is it 500,000? Is it 250,000? Is it 100,000? Is it 50,000? We all play a role in this. But I want to say, let's say for every dollar we contribute, there's one soul saved. Oh, come on, let's think about it. Three new locations attended by, let's say, 250, 300 people. How much influence is that going to be in Spain, Cadiz, San Francisco, wherever they are? Yeah? That's how we got to think. We got to think kingdom, not about the money. So for every cent that we sow, think of that as souls that are one for Jesus. You and I cannot be there, but we can send others to be there. We can support the pastors. We can, Fabio, we can support him and his beautiful wife and his beautiful daughter. We can support them by coming alongside them and giving them an allocated amount of money that they can work with to plant Pneuma location and then to develop it. It's not an ongoing thing. It's an initial thing. But JJ, what about our building fund? Anybody ask that question? Don't raise your hand. It's a good question. It's a good question. You know what my answer is? Because I asked the same question. But what about our building fund? We're about to move into a building. We're about to break ground. We're about to start construction. And you know what God said to me? JJ, the East Building is your Jerusalem. It's not the end of the world. It's not the nations. It's your Jerusalem. So that's my challenge. Our building is our Jerusalem. We're talking here about Samaria and the ends of the earth. And Bill Johnson, I was reminded of this as well. Bill Johnson said this. He said, his CFO comes in the beginning of time, comes in and says, you know what? We've got no monies for salaries. Pastor Bill. And Bill Johnson thinks for a while and he says to his CFO's chief financial officer, he says, get the checkbook out. All the money that's in the account, write out the check. Go and give it to the church down the road who needs it the most. The CFO goes, excuse me, Pastor Bill, but I don't think you heard me. There is no money to pay salaries. He says, no, I don't think you heard me. Get all the money, write it out in the check, the exact amount that's in the account, write it out, go and give it to a church. Now, this is a true story. I heard this out of his mouth myself. So what does the CFO do? The CFO goes, okay. He says, but what about, he says, I've asked you to do that. He writes out the check, goes down the road, finds out the church that needs it the most, gives it to the church. And Pastor Bill testifies this. He says, you know what? He says, since that day, there has not been any lack within their church. That's something to give God praise offer for. Right. What are we saying here? Sung sitting at the back going, oh, what are you talking about, JJ? There's this saying that says this, you want your house paid off, then pay someone else's house off. Let me bring Bethel back into the picture. Bethel is at this point in time building their new campus, cash. The new campus is currently costing $98 US million, 98. As of January 2024, they had raised, wait for it, $45.5 million raised. Jesus, we need a little bit of that. We need a little bit of that. But you know what? This is my heart behind it all. What am I learning out of this? You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Let's not focus on our house. Yes, let's not focus on our house. Let's not focus on our Jerusalem. This is our time to focus on His kingdom. This is our time. And I honestly believe that God, as we focus on His kingdom, He will take care of our house. He will take care of ours. I honestly believe it. And I want to finish with this. I want to finish with this. I've believed and I've declared, those who've been in the hour of power will testify this. I've declared in the hour of power on a Tuesday morning that we will build Numa East, 20 Joseph Street, debt-free. Can my team attest to that, yeah? That we will build it debt-free. You go, how? I got no idea, but God does know. January this year, I'm sitting, there comes a visiting prophet, and this visiting prophet prophesies over me that there will be a man that will come into the building. He will be hungry for the word of God. You will notice him because he will be in traditional dress, but he will be so hungry. You need to take care of him because and teach him the word of God because he will resource the church. That's January. I started in August. That was a kiss from heaven for me. So I'm looking out for anybody who walks in with traditional garb. We're going to have an international day one of these days. Make sure you wear your traditional garb. I'll be coming up to say, are you the one? Are you the one? Oh, kidding. All right. So let's wrap it up. Here's two things. Paulina and I, we will be participating. Can I have a card, please? I would like to say this. I would like every single one of us to participate. Every single one of us. Why do I want us all to participate? Because we are a family, number one. Number two, this is the most important thing that Paulina and I have spoken about. We want to see, and we want you to see the hand of God move on our behalf because of our obedience. That's the most important thing. So we're gonna take up our offering. If you've got your cards, they're on the back already. Fantastic, good work. There's different ways you can give. You can give by filling out this card and dropping it in the bucket, which is going to go through. You can give cash, but make sure if you give cash, you put it in an envelope and you're naming it Advance the Kingdom or ATK, Advance the Kingdom. Otherwise, it just goes straight into tithe. You can give by push pay. Make sure that you put it down as ATK, Advance the Kingdom. You can do credit card. You can even right now go to the back at the Info Hub and go and do it as well. There's no pressure. I'm not pressurizing you into committing to do anything, but I am saying, let us be family. Let us be family. Let's build the kingdom of God like we have never built it before. Let us make sure that there, can I have some music there? That'll be fantastic, please. Okay, let us make sure that we are making a difference. So if you've got your cards, we're going to spend 1 minute. We have gone a little bit over time. We're going to spend 1 minute just thinking about it and praying. And I want you to close your eyes there where you are. And I want you to pray two prayers. The first prayer is this: God, do you want me to give? So let's all just quieten our hearts. Nobody walking around. Just go, God, do you want me to give? You're either going to get an answer, yes or no. Then, if you get a yes, you go, God, how much do you want me to give? A figure is going to drop in your mind. You're going to think it's crazy. But you just sit on that and you go, God, is that you? He's going to give you confirmation again. If you've got your amount, I would like you to fill out your card. You can fill out your card this week. You can fill out your card next week. You can fill out your card the week after. The next 3 weeks we'll be taking up. You can just drop it in the offering bucket as it goes past. Here's my heart. If you haven't come prepared today, which I understand the majority of us would not have, because we haven't promoted this as much as what we normally do with a Vision Sunday. Go home. What Pauline and I do is we go home. We say, are we going to give? The answer will be yes. Then we say, okay, let's pray about how much we're going to give. She goes and prays separately. I pray separately. We get a figure. We come back and we look at the figure together. And we always give. This is scary. We always give the more. I want to say as well, normally it's spot on. We get exactly the same amount. But if one of us differs, we always give the more. I want to also say to the families, include your children. Include your children. Doesn't matter how small they are. Talk to them about advancing the kingdom. I think kids should be busy doing that. Talk to them about advancing the kingdom. And then say, how much can you give? Maybe it's a dollar, maybe it's 50 cents, maybe it's $5. Maybe we've done this with our own children. And our children have come up with amounts that we've given in the past in situations like this. And then get them to fill out a card. Make them part of this. Because guess what? We are raising up the next generation. We're raising up the next generation who will advance the kingdom.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.